chapters 8 and 9, towards the end of chapter 8 and the beginning of chapter 9, and then through again to the conclusion of the gospel in Mark chapter 16. And these sections, these two big sections, are divided by three pillars. The beginning of the book in chapter 1, and then there's another sort of pillar in the end of chapter 8 and the beginning of chapter 9, and then finally an important pillar at the end of the book. And these pillars are around Jesus' relationship with his Father. And so in Mark chapter 1, verse 11, at the moment of his baptism, we read this, actually beginning in verse 10. "And immediately coming up from the water, he saw Jesus, saw the heavens parting, and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And then a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" And so the Gospel of Mark begins with an affirmation of Jesus' unique relationship with his Father. "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then Jesus' ministry continues. He gathers disciples, performs miracles, heals diseases, teaches with authority. And then another pillar comes at a moment of Jesus' transfiguration before three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John. And we read about this in chapter 9 at the beginning, verse 2. It says, "Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them." Physically, Jesus was changed, and some of his glory as the eternal Son of God was on display before these three men. "His clothes became shining exceedingly white like snow, which has as no launderer on earth can whiten them. And Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, 'Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.' Because he did not know what to say, for they were greatly afraid. And a cloud came and overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son. Hear him.' Suddenly, when they had looked around, they saw no one anymore, but only Jesus with themselves." And so, as Mark's gospel begins with an affirmation that "you are my Son," it gets to its peak with this transfiguration of Jesus before his disciples and this announcement for them, "This is my Son. Listen to him." And so the gospel is full of this theme of the unique relationship between Jesus and his Father. "This is my Son. You are my beloved Son." The final pillar of this theme, I believe, comes at the moment of Jesus' crucifixion. And at this time, we read in Mark chapter 15, verse 33. "Now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, saying, 'Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,' which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" I don't think it's a mistake that Mark organizes his gospel around declarations about Jesus. Another hint towards this theme is that Elijah is mentioned in each of these cases as well. John the Baptist is present at his baptism, and we know that John the Baptist is a prophet like Elijah. At the moment of Jesus' transfiguration, Elijah is present there again, and the disciples inquire about Elijah as they walk down the mountain with Jesus. And at this moment, when Jesus cries out in abandonment to his Father, the crowd responds by saying, "He's calling Elijah." And Mark wants us to note this theme throughout his gospel. It's a theme about Jesus' relationship with his Father, and it's a theme about the length that he was willing to go because of his love for us. Jesus, the unique Son of God, affirmed by his Father to be one with whom God the Father is well pleased. But on the cross, Jesus cries out in abandonment, "Why have you forsaken me?" And the answer is that Jesus, in his unique relationship as the Son of God, was willing to descend completely into the awfulness of our situation as the estranged children of God, those who had abandoned our Father, those who had turned away from him in sin. And Jesus was willing to be in our place there on the cross so that he could offer to us the gift, the privilege of actually entering into his relationship with the Father, that we would be united with Christ as daughters and sons of Almighty God. What's necessary for that to happen has been fully accomplished by Jesus at the cross. He took our place and offers now to us that by grace we can assume his place as a child of God. We too can become sons and daughters of God. We too can feel that affirmation from our Father, "You are my beloved child, and I delight in you." Scripture says that the Holy Spirit of God comes to enter those who put their faith in Jesus so that we will know in our spirits that we are the children of God. And Jesus never wanted us to forget. Never wanted us to forget that our relationship with God is something that he was uniquely capable to secure for us as the true Son of God. He never wants us to forget that he has done everything that is necessary. He has stood hanging on the cross in that sense, in the position of abandonment, so that we can be reclaimed by our Heavenly Father. We're to remember his body that was given for us. We're to remember his blood that was shed so that a new and reconciled relationship between sinners and a holy God could be established. And so that's what we will do in these next moments. We invite you, as Alan plays quietly on the guitar, to come. And once we have taken the elements of bread and the juice back to our places, I'll return again and lead you in participating. It was interesting that Steve mentioned, and it's so true, that we're called to proclaim the death of Jesus. And that's what communion is about. It's a proclamation that we recognize that when Jesus died on the cross, he was dying there for us. That as the unique Son of God, he took our place so that we could enter into a relationship with our Father. Perhaps you haven't yet come to that place where you fully understand and know deeply that when Jesus died, he died for you. Maybe you haven't come to that place where you know you can put your trust in him. I want to encourage you, Jesus is wholly trustworthy this morning. You can completely put your faith in what he has accomplished for you at the cross so that you can be a child of God and know deeply the love of your Heavenly Father. But if you're not ready to take that step, I encourage you to observe this morning. This testimony is those who have entered into a relationship with God as their Father come to remember the body and blood of Jesus given for them. And we invite you to come. Thank you. Scripture tells us that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, given for you. Do this whenever you eat it in remembrance of me." Let's partake together. And then in the same manner, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we remember you this morning as the one who was declared uniquely to be the Son of God. We come to you this morning as the one who is our Lord, the one that we want to follow. We come to you as the one who is our teacher and authority. But most of all, we come to you this morning, Jesus, aware that you willingly took our position at the cross, that you entered into that estrangement and distance that our sin had created between us and our Heavenly Father. You entered even into death for us. And we know this morning that you did that. You were willing to suffer spiritually and physically so that we could enter into the privilege and the joy of your sonship, that we could be included with you, that we could be in Christ and become sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. And so we thank you that you were willing to sacrifice yourself for us. We trust you that you did all that needed to be done. We look only to your cross. We look only to your sacrifice, to your body given for us, your blood shed for us. This is our hope. This is where we are reconciled to God. We thank you that we can proclaim this morning that there is a Redeemer, there is one who has come to lift our lives out of the darkness and death of sin and make us alive. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.